Hello, and welcome to this audio course for leadership, the four keys to having a successful fire department wellness program. This is Dr. Carly Moore. If you are not familiar with me, I am a consultant to fire departments. I have a PhD in exercise science and nutrition, and I specialize in firefighter health. So the class today is both a culmination of lots of research that's been done on fire departments and research that tells us, first of all, that wellness programs are effective in fire departments, and also the things that make wellness programs effective. And that together with my experience working over the years with lots of fire departments to improve the wellness culture among their firefighters. So let's get into the four keys to having a successful fire department wellness program. The first key is for you as a leader to be an example and a support. You have to show that health is important to you. And therefore, it's also important to you to take care of your people's health. So some of you listening to this might already do that if you're serving on your department's wellness committee. But maybe you're a fire chief who feels uncomfortable advocating for wellness because you're not the picture of health yourself. Well, that's actually the best spot to be in because you can inspire and motivate people by saying, hey, I'm doing some cool things for my health and I want you to be able to do it too. So you're not just mandating that they do this and you're not going to do it. You are not just checking something off your to-do list. You are actually in this with them. You're providing them with some resources that you want to participate in as well. So remember, these are firefighters. They're going to push back. Even if what you're providing is insanely awesome, they're going to push back if they feel that you are mandating that they do it. Okay. So if you are an example, that makes it clear. Making it clear that you're on board sends the message that we're all in this together. And that's really taking advantage of the cool thing about the fire service, that it's everything is really a group effort. And the group can bring everyone down, peer pressure, and the group can also be a really positive force. So a recent study showed that firefighters put more value into being able to pull their weight on the job than they do personally developing heart disease. So they cared more about making sure that their crew felt that they could pull their weight than they did of dying themselves of heart disease. Okay, so it's very, very important to firefighters that they are helping out their crew, and it's very much a team effort. So make this a team effort. We're doing this not only for ourselves, but for one another, and I'm with you every step of the way. In fact, there's another study that showed a deciding factor for the success of a wellness program was whether or not the firefighters felt the chief was supportive of it. So there you go. Scientific fact. Okay, so super important. You can't just throw your wellness program or whatever resources you're providing, you can't just throw it at them and expect them to be super into it and super appreciative if they don't feel that you're not into it as well. Second key is to communicate. You must communicate to your people for a couple reasons. First of all, you have to communicate in order to instill trust, okay? And I'll expand on that in a second. The second reason you have to communicate to them is simply to remind them that the program or the resource is there for them, okay? Because everybody's busy, so they're going to forget about it. So you're regularly communicating with them via email or whatever it is, you're regularly telling them about the program simply to remind them to participate in it. It also shows them, again, getting back to what we just talked about, that you're committed to it. It's not just something you are checking off your to-do list. You are committed to this. So regular emails, regular communication in whatever form. The second, or the first reason that I want to get back to instilling trust is because of what I call firefighter anxiety. You know, it's true. Most firefighters are pretty high strung. Now, I'm married to a firefighter, so this is all fair. I get to say these things. Who else wants to run into a burning building? Come on, most firefighters are type A. So there is this anxiety that surrounds any type of newness, anytime they feel that something is being mandated. Let's not even get into issues between management and union. I've also been around for all that. Not just because I'm married to a firefighter, but because I do fitness testing for several local departments, and it's all related to the union contract. So I'm very aware of all those issues. So you got to nip that in the bud, is my point. You have to communicate to them that this is simply a resource that you are providing for them to improve their quality of life, to help them avoid a heart attack, help them not go out early on disability, because that happens. About 25% of firefighter retirements are going out early, and most of those are from back injuries, by the way, according to the IAFF. So you're communicating to them that you are simply providing this for them to help them. You want to also state very clearly, many times, in more than one way, that their job is not in jeopardy if that is the case. Okay. For example, the fitness testing that I do locally, it is not a job-specific physical ability test. Their job is not in jeopardy. It is simply a resource that they get. They get to learn their fitness level, which is very important to them. And it also gives them some information about heart attack risk and injury risk. But the information is only shared between me and that firefighter. But I can't tell you how evident it was that even though management told them, you know, your job is not in jeopardy, your information is going to be kept private, it didn't sink in. They should have told them over and over again in many different forms, okay, because of the firefighter anxiety. And it's understandable that people are going to be nervous if they feel that there's some ulterior motive or they feel that their job might actually be in jeopardy. So make sure that your people understand that their job is not in jeopardy, or if their job is on the line, whatever steps you will take to help them keep their job, and make sure that they know that their information is private, how it is private. So you're instilling trust by communicating. So communicate regularly in many different forms to instill trust, and simply to remind them that the program is there for them and they should participate in it. All right, so first key was be an example and a support. The second key was to communicate. And the third key is to give incentives. Now, this is a big one, and I've seen this one firsthand. Like it or not, if you want a wellness program that actually works, you have to offer people motivation. So there are two ways to motivate people, extrinsically and intrinsically. So we'll talk about intrinsic next, but extrinsic motivation means you give them something. And that something needs to be money or something of monetary value if you can. Not stickers. Some of these research studies looking at motivating firefighters to adopt healthy behaviors, they rewarded them with stickers. That's ridiculous. People are very motivated by money, and it doesn't even have to be very much. You would be surprised how many firefighters will choose to do a fitness test, for example, if they're simply paid $50 to do it. And I found that without this tiny little push, even firefighters who really care about their health will convince themselves of a good reason to skip the test. And I've seen this firsthand. They'll say, well, I already know where I'm at, which is, of course, not really true. They don't actually know specifically what their numbers are. or I'm feeling a little bit of knee pain or whatever it is. Okay. So the same idea for participating in a wellness program in general. You need to reward people. A good idea is to reward people with money when they can document that they exercised or they participated in an athletic competition or they lost weight or whatever it is. So I want to mention that I often hear the argument that we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be incentivizing people because then people will be working on their health for the wrong reasons. Well, to that, I say, who cares? Listen, most people who have healthy behaviors are doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it to look good, right? For a certain physique. That's actually the wrong reason. You should be doing it for your health. But who cares? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your motivation is. It's good for you whether you care about it or not. So, you know, if someone is only exercising because you are giving them money or whatever you're giving them, that shouldn't really matter to you if that results in lower medical costs for your department or that person simply performing better on the job. Okay, so let's get back to incentivizing because I cannot stress enough the importance of incentives. Because even if we do actually care about our health and we want to lose weight, gain muscle, etc., we are very, very good at talking ourselves out of things and coming up with excuses. And I have personally seen instances where failing to provide an incentive makes their program fall flat and vice versa. I've seen 100% participation simply because they provide an incentive. So, incentives can be straight up money. For example, they can complete a fitness test and they get X number of dollars. Or the example that I just gave was they can document, one of the departments that I work with, they do this cool thing where they basically have a quarterly journal where they can document all the ways that they participated in wellness-related activities. So watch a nutrition class, running a 5K, whatever it is, and each thing has a predetermined dollar value, and they're actually earning money for each thing that they do up to a certain amount. If you can't give money, try to give something of monetary value like vacation hours. If you're thinking, there's no way, we don't have any money, which is the case for a lot of departments, unfortunately, for wellness, which is crazy because most firefighter heart attacks are actually due to health. Anyhow, that's a whole different issue. If you're feeling like, well, this is impossible, we don't have money, look to your insurance carrier. They have to provide preventative care. That's a requirement. So many are now giving people discounts on their premiums for participating in a wellness program. And that is the case for the fire department that my husband works for. If you can't do money or something of monetary value, then ask yourself, what do your people want? What could you give them if they earned it by participating in your program? Okay, so first off, first key was be an example and a support. Second key was to communicate. Third key was to give incentives. And fourth, you want to provide your people with wellness education. You want to teach people both the importance of taking care of themselves, because people don't necessarily know that. They might think it abstractly, but to actually give them the real data is very motivating. And you also, of course, want to teach people how to take care of themselves. Now, this is what instills intrinsic motivation. So you're not just mandating that they get healthier. You're saying, hey, I'm going to help you get healthier. I'm going to provide you with a resource that helps you learn how to get healthier. Do you see how that's a completely different message? And you know, what's unfortunate is that this is the thing that I've seen in all my consulting that fire departments skip over most often. But it's really the most important piece. And it is a pillar of NFPA 1583. the standard on health and fitness programs for fire departments. So NFPA 1583 says you should have physicals, you should have fitness testing, and you should have firefighter-specific wellness education. Well, it's really most important to have that wellness education because you might have fitness tests, but if I tell a firefighter, okay, you have low aerobic capacity that, you know, we've measured in your fitness test, he or she may probably does not know how hazardous that is for your health and how that increases risk of heart attack for firefighters. And furthermore, doesn't actually know how to improve their aerobic capacity. Same goes for physicals. You could be spending all this time and money on physicals. A firefighter learns that they have high blood pressure. Well, if they don't have wellness education, they might not know that having high blood pressure increases a firefighter's risk of dying on duty 12 times. And they might not know exactly what to do to lower their blood pressure. They might not know that losing weight is the single most effective thing to lower their blood pressure. Furthermore, they might not really know how to lose weight. Okay, so I could go on and on and on. So in my experience, most firefighters do not know the very most important information about how to keep themselves from having a heart attack or going out on injury, or how to have a healthy weight. So a good example is that we know that heart attacks occur among firefighters who possess certain risk factors. There are 6 risk factors. So being an outsider, I would think that all firefighters would know these 6 risk factors because it's absolutely crucial to saving their lives so they can go home to their families. So if you're a fire chief, you don't have to tell their families the worst news they'll ever hear. But do firefighters know these 6 risk factors? Not in my experience, they don't. So don't just assume that your people know what they need to know. And it's just that they don't choose to do it. In my experience, they really don't know. And remember, you're all in this together. So it's okay if you are learning it with them. So by providing your people with the firefighter wellness training, you are doing just that, just what I described. And I hope that helped you understand why you're doing this, why it's so important. And so great job. Kudos to you. And remember, you may not see big changes in people, especially right away, but that doesn't mean they aren't changing their lives for the better. You can't always see it. You can't see someone's cholesterol lowering. Okay, but they might be changing their lives for the better, becoming happier, living longer, and overall just feeling better and performing better. And you can also know that you've done your part and the rest is up to them. Don't forget to be an example and a support, to communicate regularly, and to incentivize. So thanks for listening. I hope you got a lot out of this class. You can email me if you have questions. And your next class is on the 3 mistakes to avoid if you want to have a successful fire department wellness program.